You can't save yourself. You can't sanctify yourself. God is the one who saves us. God is the one who sanctifies us. And there may be many people, maybe you're here today, you're frustrated because you're trying to do what God wants you and you are failing all the time. Well, today I believe you're going to be encouraged. This is an encouraging passage.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, in your message today, you're going to talk about a word that some of our listeners may not be familiar with. And that word is sanctification.
You know, Dave, the word sanctification is simply the process of being made or becoming more holy. It's the process of being set apart from sin unto God. And this is different than justification, which was a single act or event that happened when we trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, sanctification, on the other hand, is an ongoing process that the true believer engages in for our entire lives. Essentially, it's a lifelong pursuit of becoming more like Christ. So today we're going to talk about this process of sanctification as we review where we've been in the book of 1 Thessalonians.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, then you'll be able to identify with what I'm going to share with you. Surely each one of us has experienced the reality of discouragements in this life when we fail, when we sin, when we're not like Christ. Although we are being made like Christ more and more every day, we fail. We're not there yet. And it's discouraging when we fail. We don't want to fail. We don't want to do what's wrong. We don't want to sin. And yet God is gracious because if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God is sanctifying us and making us like Jesus. But even after many years, being Christian for many years, we still recognize there's a whole lot of work that still needs to be done on each and every one of us, that we're not there yet. And sometimes recognizing that can be discouraging. Now today, I believe we're going to be encouraged, actually, as we see and press forward towards the goal of being like Christ. And we've seen in this book of 1 Thessalonians, in the end, a bunch of commands on what we are to be doing with one another, with our leadership in the body of Christ. But how can we do these things? How can we obey the Lord's word? Well, today we're going to see that it is a focus on Christ in total dependence as we trust Him and believe what He has said, that He is faithful, that He enables us then to step out and do what He calls us to do. We've been looking at the book of 1 Thessalonians, so would you turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to be looking at chapter 5, verses 23 and 24 today. We are very close, almost, you know, I was going back and forth praying about whether we should finish or not today, but there's just too much in this message, in these two verses, for me to add in the last portion, and I think we'll be blessed by that as we look at that and finish up next time. Well, we've been looking at the changed lives of the Thessalonians. Their lives were changed by Jesus Christ. They turned to God from idols. And the Apostle Paul is writing a young church that is less than a year old in the faith, and he has been orphaned from them. And within that, he has learned through Timothy their spiritual condition, where they're at with Christ, and he is so joyful and so thankful for that. And after sharing his thankfulness for their salvation, he delivered and defended the manner in which he came to them. And then he praised the Lord and was so thankful for their response to the word of God, which performs its work in you who believe. And then we saw he was so thankful for their response to Timothy, who he had sent to see how they were doing in the faith. He was so thankful for that. He was so thankful for how they had responded. And then we came to chapter 4, in which the Apostle Paul shifts gears and begins to exhort these Thessalonians in their walk with Jesus Christ, how to excel in that walk with Jesus, how they needed to keep applying biblical instruction, understanding what God's will is for them, applying that truth in walking and pleasing God, being sanctified, for that is God's will. And then we saw that it was God's will for them to excel still more in purity, that they were to abstain from sexual immorality. They were to excel still more in love of the brethren, being about their own business, providing for their own needs rather than being a burden on the body of Christ. And then they were, as we see in the end of chapter 4, to excel still more in hope, because there were those who were eagerly awaiting the coming of Christ, and some of their brothers and sisters in Christ had died, and they were wondering, have they missed that? The Apostle Paul shares the wonderful truth that Christ will bring them first with him, and they will be raised first, and then we who are alive and remain will be changed in that moment. Tremendous reality that we should comfort one another with these words. And then in chapter 5, the Apostle Paul moved to a new subject in which he addresses their concerns about the day of the Lord. Were they going through it? They were suffering. Maybe people had been saying, hey, you're going through the day of the Lord. This is terrible. Well, the Apostle Paul makes it clear that they weren't going through it, but it would come like a thief in the night, and it would come upon the ungodly where God would judge them. But since we are of the day, we're to walk differently, and God has not destined us for wrath, but for salvation. And so we need to comfort one another with these words. And then he began to share some basic commands in the end of the book. We have 22 commands. First, there are commands for how the church deals with their leadership. They are to highly respect them, to see them in a way that is over and above, to hold them in high esteem. Why? Because of their work. They work hard, they oversee, and they admonish, as we see. And within that, we should live at peace with one another so we are not a burden to them and each other. And then we saw how we are to deal with difficulties in the body of Christ. This is a young church, so it's very simple and it's very easy for us to understand that we are to admonish the unruly. Those who are out of step with their walk of Christ, they are to be warned and admonished. The term unruly meant to be out of order, out of step, to pull out of line, to pull away from your superiors in a military context. To be out of step. We're to admonish or warn the wayward in the body of Christ. And we are to encourage the discouraged. It certainly is easy to get discouraged at times. We're to encourage them. Come alongside. Speak the truth. Encourage them in Christ. And we are to hold up the weak. All of this without returning evil for evil. Because we might be not treated well if we come along people in this manner. But we're not to return evil for evil, but to be patient. Be patient with all men, responding in a godly way. And then we saw God's will for our inner lives as believers, that we are to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And it can't be said any simpler than that, right? It's God's will for us to be joyful, and that joy comes in the context of what Christ has done for us and who he is, in spite of the difficulties we're going through. We're to pray about everything, we're to bring it before the Lord, and we're to, in everything, give thanks. Not give thanks for every situation, but know that within those situations we can give thanks because God is working his good through that. He's working for good. He says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then our last time we saw how we're to respond to the Word of God, how we're to respond. We're not to quench the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God leads us. He teaches us through the Word of God. He convicts us of sin. He corrects us. He trains us through the Word of God. It's Spirit-inspired Word. And we're not to quench that. We're not to push down the Spirit's work in our lives. We're not to throw a blanket on the fire, in a sense. And we can do that when we're convicted of sin. We're convicted about maybe something we said to someone. We just put it aside rather than being convicted and confessing that, whatever it might be. We're not to quench the Spirit. And we're not to in any way cause, seize, or block the work of the Spirit in our lives. The Spirit doesn't drag you around. He leads you gently, graciously. God is a gracious God. We're not to quench that. And then we saw we're to cling tightly to the Word of God. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. We talked about the reality that there were prophets and apostles in the early church building on the foundation. Now we have the foundation laid. We have the completed Word of God. We're not to disregard the Word of God. We're not to set it aside. You know, some believers, hey, they hold all sorts of doctrine, this and that, and they disregard things. You know, you got people who could be the most theologically minded people in the world. They can answer every question, and yet they're angry, or they're worried, or whatever they are. They're disregarding the Word of God. They're not putting it aside, knowing they're giving Satan a place. They're not putting their prayers before the Lord rather than worrying, whatever it might be. We're not to disregard the Word of God. And so we saw that we're also to examine everything carefully. We are to test everything carefully. We're to hold tightly to that which is good. And what's good? God, and what He has revealed in His Word about those things that are truly good of Him. And we are to abstain in every way from every form of evil. Not just the obvious forms of evil, but every form of evil. We're to keep far from it. That's what that word abstain means. And so at that point, we have the commands are pretty much done. And so we look at that and we go, man, okay, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. I'm giving thanks. I'm trusting Him. But yeah, I'm certainly failing a lot too. I'm certainly not doing this all the time. I want to be in His Word. I want it to flow in my heart all the time. I want to be following Him. But at times, I'm forgetting. I'm thinking about other things, you know, and I get sidetracked or whatever it might be. I fail. How do we do this? How do we do this? How do we do these things that He's called us to do? Well, we're going to see it's only as God works through the heart of a submitted believer that we're able to do these things. When we have the right understanding and mindset towards the Lord and what He is doing. You see, we can do nothing on our own. And if you've tried in the last few weeks to go out and do this, I'm going to rejoice, I'm going to do this and that, it's not going to work. You can't save yourself. You can't, as we'll see, sanctify yourself. God is the one who saves us. God is the one who sanctifies us. And there may be many people, maybe you're here today, you're frustrated because you're trying to do what God wants you, and you are failing all the time. Well, today I believe you're going to be encouraged because this is an encouraging passage. And I believe it's going to help us understand how we can actually do what God says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass. The reality is we are, in some sense, and the Bible uses this illustration, we are like a building. We are being built up. But it's kind of interesting. We're not just like a building that started from zero, even though we did. We still got this old building hanging around. And so there's a lot of renovation going on, in a sense. And God is working on us to bring us to a goal. But we need to understand what that goal is. And when we focus on it and understand what it truly is, then He enables us to see things rightly on the way to that goal. So how do we do what God says? First of all, we need to realize that the process of Him making us like Jesus, sanctification, as we'll see, is His work, and He will complete it in us. He will complete it. Now, we're going to see this is not an excuse to go out and sin because He's going to complete it, because that would be the wrong attitude. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? May it never be. Something's wrong in your heart if you think that way. This is for believers who want to follow the Lord, who want to do what's right, but as we are going, we're failing. We find that we're being sanctified in little spots here and there, and God is changing us, but there's spots that aren't changed. And so we see here that sanctification is His work, and He'll complete it. Look at verse 23. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul concludes this letter with his inspired desire for these believers. Some call it a prayer, and it is in a sense. Some call it a benediction. Regardless of what you call it, it is the Apostle Paul's inspired desire for this body of believers. And it is spoken in a way that we can understand because it's inspired by the Spirit of God, that it is God's desire for us. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely. Now, before we get to the passage specifically, we need to understand and review what sanctification is. You understand what it is? And basically, sanctification is the process of being made holy. And we're going to see that God is going to make us holy, holy, right? I was going to title my message, Holy with a W, and then Holy, Holy, right? He's going to do that. It is the process of God making us holy. And it is a beautiful thing. It is right and good. And our word translated sanctify here, hagiazo, it speaks of making separate, to set apart. We saw back in chapter 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, being set apart. And then he goes on to explain that you abstain from sexual immorality, being set apart from sexual sin. That was the initial context there. Sanctification is being set apart from sin unto the Lord. It's a process. And obviously, sanctification is, as we will see and as we heard read earlier, is being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We're not there yet, but he is in the process of making us like Jesus. Now, we need to understand that Scripture does speak of sanctification in two different ways. We have our initial sanctification, and then we have the ongoing process which will be brought to a completion, which we'll see in our passage today. Indeed, Scripture reveals that when we believed in Jesus Christ, when you were convicted of your sin, you trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, you believed in Him, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, you were set apart from sin unto Him. You were sanctified. In Hebrews chapter 10, he says, by this will we have been sanctified. This will, that was the Lord coming for us to do His will. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all. When the Apostle Paul addresses the Corinthian church, he calls them, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, those who have been, already done, sanctified in Christ Jesus. Later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he will talk about the fact that all these type of sins that people are identified by, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. He gives a list of them, and he says, and such some of you were. You were identified by your sin, but you were washed, you were sanctified. You were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit of our God. When we trust in Jesus Christ, we are set apart from our former sinfulness to a state of being in a relationship with Jesus Christ, having been fully forgiven of our sins. We're set apart, we're forgiven, we're sanctified. And so in our position, we are fully sanctified, we are set apart. But it, practically speaking, we have not fully been set apart from sin yet. No one has. Anyone says that they've reached a point where they don't sin anymore, you could say, well, you just sinned. The reality is, the Bible says that if we say we have no sin, we're liars. But we should be becoming more and more like Christ. We should be built up like Him. And so we see here, this sanctification is a process of being made like Jesus Christ. Indeed, I mentioned it earlier in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. And he goes on to explain being set apart from the sin of sexual immorality unto God. And he said, God has not called us for the purpose of immorality, but sanctification. The Apostle Paul illustrates this in the middle of chapter 6 of verse 19 of the book of Romans. He says, just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, you used to present yourself to sin, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Present yourself to those things of Christ, those righteous things, those things of Him, and that results in being set apart. Sanctification. So sanctification is one aspect of our salvation. When we believe we were justified and we were set apart, we were justified, we've been sanctified, and we will be glorified. Okay, so we were justified, we were declared righteous, we are being sanctified, then we will be glorified. And so now, what about this current process of sanctification? Well, the Lord God is taking His Word by His Spirit, and He is convicting us of sin and causing us to have a different viewpoint, that we would turn away from that and trust Him and allow Him to deliver us from that. You see, we are to not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds, Romans chapter 12. And in John 17, 17, Jesus says, sanctify them in thy truth, he prays, thy word is truth. Sanctify them. Let your word set them apart. Set them apart from sin unto him. Sanctify them in truth. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In speaking about husbands, he gives the illustration of the church. The Apostle Paul. Ephesians 5:25. He says, husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. And why did he do that? Verse 26, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, the term rhema, spoken word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. He died so that we would be set apart. And he is using his word to sanctify us. That's what he's doing in this process. He is taking his word, convicting us of sin, correcting us, making us straight again, and training us in righteousness. If you're willing to listen, by the way. If you're not quenching the Holy Spirit. If you're not disregarding the word of God. But yet this is not just done in a theological bubble. It's done in the context of faith. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. We need to trust the Lord. Believe what he has said, and he sets us apart. When we trust in Jesus and believe his word, he sets us apart. We become more and more like Jesus Christ. So that's what sanctification is. And he's doing that every single day. And if you're a believer, there's places where he has sanctified. He's really worked on those areas. You've changed. And certainly we fail, but we are being sanctified. But there are spots and places that aren't there yet. We're not there yet. Now, I'm not talking about rebellion. That's different. There are rebellious Christians out there, and they're getting whooped by the Lord with discipline. I'll tell you that right now, if they're really his. I'm talking about really those who are trying to follow the Lord, wanting to follow him, but we're not there yet. And so back in our passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, notice what he says. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. Right off the bat, we see first and foremost, it is God who sanctifies. And we're going to talk about that entirely in a minute. God is the one who does it. Now may the God of peace, notice he says himself, it's emphatic in the original language. He's going to do it. He himself, now may he himself do it. May he himself do it. He's the God of peace, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Brothers and sisters, this takes off all the pressure. I'm not saying we don't obey. I'm not saying we don't trust him, but it takes off the pressure. God is the one who sanctifies us. We don't sanctify ourselves. You didn't save yourself. You don't sanctify yourself. It's God's work. And when we realize that, and as we see, trust in him and abide in him, he does that work in us. He works in us, which will work out of us. Here's where believers stumble so much and run into great problems. In effect, we don't say this and we don't think this maybe, but in effect, we try to sanctify ourselves. We try to obey his commands apart from relying on him and trusting him.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's teaching, what final thoughts do you have for us?
Well, Dave, we've just only begun to scratch the surface concerning sanctification, and so be sure to tune in tomorrow for our next broadcast as we continue to look at how God is conforming us into the image of His Son.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.